my life is richer and more meaningful. I cannot imagine living my life any differently. I have so much more peace and more joy in the little things and the big things in life.
It's changed my life completely. Where there was fear and stress, now there is just love and freedom and peace in Jesus.
You know, I had to sort of come out and declare myself as a Christian. And I did that, and that was amazingly helpful to me. And I knew from then on that I wasn't just a cultural Christian. I really was a follower of Jesus.
He's given me direction and purpose and meaning to life. The direction and the peace in my heart that he gives me meaning for tomorrow and into eternity.
Well, Jesus has changed my life in the fact that he's a personal saviour. He's not just some figure of history and someone interesting to read about, but because he really showed that he cared for other people, he's given me an example of how to have a heart for other people.
Jesus has dealt with all my sin, past, present and future.
I am more alive than before I met him. He lives in my heart.
Probably the sacrifice, because it reminds me that someone wanted to die for me, for my sins, so that I would be clean and be able to go to heaven.
What draws me to him is that his calmness through all the chaos that life brings daily.
His calmness and his ability to convey this to many situations throughout the wonderful stories.
And I would say without any doubt is his peace. The peace of God that passes all understanding is the first prayer I ever had answered, and it has kept me very comfortably and strong through many things.
I love that Jesus has this balance of power and perfect love for us.
Would be his patience with us, despite all of our shortcomings, and secondly would be his peace that he gives to all believers.
I'm drawn to him because of his ongoing forgiveness, his compassion, and his faithfulness every day.
That draws me to Jesus is just his amazing power and strength. He not only has power and strength to calm the storms and the natural elements of this world, he has power and strength to heal people of their sicknesses. And ultimately, he has the power to forgive sin.
His love, his joy, his presence, and knowing that I'm never alone.
I love Jesus' compassion for mending my broken heart.
I think anybody who wants peace with God should meet Jesus, because Jesus offers that.
Everyone should come to know Jesus so that they can be with him forever.
Everyone.
Everybody, everywhere.
Everyone?
Everyone. Look, he is the Lord of the universe and we should all know him. So, yes, everyone.
Wasn't that just such an encouragement to hear some of our church family reflect on how meeting Jesus, what it's meant for them, how he's changed their lives and some of the things that drew them to him. Happy Easter. This is a joyful day, a great day, and welcome to all of you. It's great to have you with us. Of course, some of you, welcome back. You might have been with us on Good Friday, where, of course, we reflected on the good news that Jesus, the long-awaited Saviour and King of the world, willingly, sacrificially gave his life, died for your sin and mine so that we can be forgiven and reconciled to God forever. That is really good news, isn't it? But of course, thankfully, wonderfully and importantly, the story doesn't end there, does it? It doesn't end there. Yes, Christ died for our sins. As our saving king, he was buried, but death could not hold him. The perfect, sinless Son of God rose again from the dead on the third day in triumph and victory and glory. That is profoundly good news. Friends, Christ is risen. Not bad. I think it's probably more joyful news than that. Let's try that again. Christ is risen.
He's risen.
I reckon we can go one more better. Christ is risen.
He's risen.
Wow. Amen to that. That is wonderfully, profoundly good news for us, for you, for me, for our community, for the whole world. Christ did rise again in glory and triumph. And today, of course, is a special day for Christians here, for Christians around the world, to especially celebrate and reflect on the good news of Jesus' resurrection and reflecting on its life-changing, world-transforming implications. And so we're going to begin celebrating and praising God for this good news by singing in praise to our risen King, who is the King of Kings. Let's stand and let's sing together.
Glory.
Let's continue singing as we stand amazed in the presence of our living and loving Saviour. Father God, it is so good to gather here today in joyful celebration of our risen King, your Son, our Lord Jesus. We thank you for the great salvation you have won for us in him, in his death in our place on the cross, in his burial, but in wonderfully and beautifully in his resurrection, where you powerfully raised him from the dead. Thank you for the wonderful life-changing implications that Jesus is alive, that he is ruling and reigning and will one day return and make all things new. Thank you for this tremendous life-changing hope that we live in light of Jesus' resurrection. And we pray that you'd encourage our hearts, each and every one of us today, and send us away singing your praises because Christ is risen indeed. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Please take a seat. And yeah, it's great to have each and every one of you. It's so good to have so many visitors here. If you're visiting with us, especially warm welcome to you. Thank you for coming. You might be down having a bit of a holiday on the south coast here. Maybe you're visiting family. Maybe you're someone in the area who received an invitation in your letterbox. If that's the case, then welcome to you too. It's great to be gathered here today. what I was going to say here, we invite you, if you're not able to, if you're able to stick around, if you don't have to rush off, we're going to have some hot cross buns. As the service progresses, you'll probably start to smell that beautiful cinnamony smell with butter and, you know. So we will have some hot cross buns afterwards and some Easter eggs, I believe, even for the kids, and some tea and coffee. So we invite you to stick around for that if you can. We have our program today. You hopefully received a little program on your way in. You can see the flow of the service. It's a little bit different than usual and a little bit different than Friday even. It's a series of three readings and three short talks from Luke's Gospel. We've been working our way through the term as a church through Luke's Gospel, meeting Jesus in different aspects of his character. And Luke's Gospel is, if not familiar with the Bible, it's one of the Bible's accounts of Jesus' life and death and resurrection. And of course, we'll sing some more great songs of praise. Now, today is an all-in service, so we don't have separate kids programs or youth programs running during the service. We do have a kids' corner if you haven't found that yet. If you've got little ones and you just want to plonk them on the ground and just watch them up there, you can do so. But can we just say that we're glad to have families with us, so if your kids make some noise, we're very relaxed about that. So please be relaxed yourself. We're just really glad you're with us. If you're looking for the toilets, you might want to know where they are. They're through the orange door just towards the, as you veer right as you head through the gym, and you can find them there. Well, our first reading is, Helen is going to bring us a reading from Luke 23, verses 50 to 56. The words will be up on the screen. Thank you, Helen.
Now, there was a man named Joseph, a member of the council, a good and upright man, who had not consented to their decision and action. He came from the Judean town of Arimathea, and he himself was waiting for the kingdom of God. Going to Pilate, he asked for Jesus' body. Then he took it down, wrapped it in a linen cloth, and placed it in a tomb cut in the rock, one in which no one had yet been laid. It was preparation day, and the Sabbath was about to begin. The women who had come with Jesus from Galilee followed Joseph and saw the tomb and how his body was laid in it. Then they went home and prepared spices and perfumes, but they rested on the Sabbath in obedience to the commandment.
Thank you, Helen, and good morning, everyone. Great to see you here today, and special welcome on Easter Sunday. We always love having lots of visitors with us on Easter Sunday, so welcome to you. I'm going to need some help from the kids along the way this morning, so if you'd like to come up, I'll ask you that in a moment. But we are picking the story up from where we left it on Friday, of course. Jesus has died on the cross. His friends are scared and alone and sad. Verse 50, you might have heard there as Helen read it, talks about a man named Joseph. Joseph was a religious leader, but he didn't agree with what happened to Jesus, unlike most of the rest of the religious leaders of the time. We're told in verse 51, he was waiting for the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God would come when God came to rule. That was the great hope. It would be when everything wrong would be made right. It was what the whole world was longing for and waiting for. And Joseph was waiting for this moment, for the kingdom of God to come. Jesus had said he was God's king who was bringing in God's kingdom. But now, Jesus was dead. He died, and it left his followers and people like Joseph, it left them confused and afraid. Verse 53 says Joseph took Jesus' body and laid it in a tomb and had a big stone rolled across the entrance. Now, this is where I do need a bit of help. So I've got a couple of volunteers who want to come up and help me, because I have this huge stone that I've made, and it's too heavy for me to move. Okay, so come on, we need someone. Just come on down. Come on, Meg, I see your hand there. Come on, Timothy, up you come. Give him that clap. Nate, come on up. I need some help here. All right, okay. I need some help. Come on. Just gentle. Okay, yes. It's heavy but very fragile. Gentle. We're gonna leave it there. Okay. Oh, wow. Thank you, guys. Give them a clap. You can go sit down now. Wow. Okay, so a huge stone was rolled in front of the tomb. This massive stone, so no one could get in and no one could get out. So they thought. Now, this was a pretty dark moment for everyone, if you think about it. The tomb was rolled in front. It felt like everything was out of control. The one who they were waiting for, the God's King, was dead and buried. It seemed like everything was out of control. Sometimes it can seem like that for us too, right? Maybe you felt that. Everything seems out of control. But everything wasn't out of control. Here's what we're going to celebrate today. Jesus was the King, even in the moment of darkness and confusion. We saw that on Good Friday. His death on the cross was how he became, how he saved his people. That was his great saving act. Easter reminds us, what we can remember today, is that even when things feel out of control, the Lord is King. The Lord is King. And we're going to sing a song about that. It's a song that points us to Jesus even when things feel out of control. To remind us that no matter what happens, we can trust Jesus as the King who died for us. And not only that, as we're going to see in a moment, who rose again from the dead for us. So, I'm going to move to my guitar and let's stand and sing "The Lord is King."
I believe Shannon's going to come up now and read the next of our passages in Luke 24, verses 1 to 8. Thanks, Shannon.
Luke 24, It was now about noon and darkness came over the whole land until 3 p.m. On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the woman took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not there. Here, he is risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee. The Son of Man must be delivered over to the hands of sinners, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again." Then they remembered in his words.
Thank you, Crystal. Great reading. Well done. Okay, so this group of women had followed Jesus, and they went to the tomb very early in the morning. So they thought they were going to find this. But something amazing had happened before they even got there. Okay, so I need some more helpers. Okay, so I need a few more helpers. Any other helpers when I come on? Okay, right at the back. Yes, come on, come on. Yes, yeah, okay, yes. Come on down, girls. Let's give them a clap. Well done. Yeah, and you guys can come down too. Come on, come on. I'm going to need lots of helpers for this, actually. So anyone who wants to, you can come on up. All right. Now, we're going to roll this stone away. All right, okay, okay. Oh. Here we go again. Stay here, because you might remember last year something that we did with this chocolate tomb. Anyone remember this?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, last year I thought I'd made it really strong, and then Milan came up and gave it. You remember this? He gave it a big whack, and it burst open in one hit. So I've doubled the thickness this year. There's double the chocolate in that, and so I reckon it's going to take more than one whack. I don't know. So, The great thing that had happened. Now, this had all happened before the women had even got to the tomb. They got there and had found this surprise, this amazing surprise. Okay, Jemima, here you go. You want to give it a go? All right, let's see. Move back. Okay, everyone. Oh, okay, let's go. Now another whack. Oh, somebody else. Come on. Yes, I made it strong. Come on, Nate. Oh, it's getting there. Let's go. Oh. Go, Timothy. Go. Okay. Oh, there's a dent. Come on. One more. Oh, okay. This is not as spectacular as last year. Maybe I made it too strong. Oh, that's it. Come on. Keep hitting. Go. Who wants to go? Come on, Isaac. Go. Yes. Well done. Who else? Come on, Liv. Let's go. All right, anyone else want to go? No? Oh, okay. Should I have a go?
I think we should do one more hit and then it's
yours. Okay, let's go. Oh, I made it too strong! This is an example of, okay. Hey! Okay. So maybe I should have made it twice as thick, but that's good. Hey, oh, now, just leave them on there for the moment, kids. Leave them on there for the moment. Yeah, well, that was a bit too thick, I think. Anyway, how good is that, that before the women got there, the tomb had burst open and life had burst out of the tomb. Jesus had come to life. Well, yeah, that's right, the colour of life. Now, the thing is, when the women went to the tomb, they didn't realise this yet. They didn't know that Jesus had risen from the dead yet. Yeah, they just found an empty tomb, right? They just found an empty tomb. But then, did you hear this in the reading? Two angels, two messengers from God, were shining like lightning. They said this, verse 5, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here, he has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee. The Son of Man must be delivered over to the hands of sinners and be crucified and on the third day be raised again." So The women remember Jesus' words. And can you imagine how stunned they would have been? How excited, amazed, even confused? Yeah, yeah. They might not have figured it all out for themselves, but they knew that something totally amazing had happened, something that would change the whole world forever. And here's why. Because Jesus' resurrection wasn't just one person beating death, as amazing as that would be. Jesus' resurrection means everything he said is true, and it means he is God's living king, and that's really good news because it means he has the power to save people who put their trust in him. And because of his death in our place, he saves us from sin, and because of his resurrection, he saves us from death. So I need some helpers again. We're going to use our tomb here. Can I come over here? Yep. Sorry. Oh, it's really heavy. I can't put anything past you, can I, Timothy? All right. Now, we're just going to leave this here. Now, that tomb, that stone that was rolled across the entrance to the tomb, let's imagine that is like death. It's like death, that Jesus broke through death. So, Levi, would you like to hold on to that? Do you want to pretend to be Jesus and burst through death? Now, just hold on a second, because here is the really great news of Easter. Here is the really great news of Easter. Not just that Jesus rose from death, as good as that would be, but that everyone who is connected to him, who's united to him by faith, gets pulled through death to new life as well. And that's amazing. Okay, so hold on to the rope. Go hold on to the rope. Yeah. Yeah, everyone who believes in Jesus, everyone who trusts him. All right, hang on. Let's count down. And you got to burst through. Okay, I hope I can hold this strong. Okay, 3, 2, 1, go. Go, go, go. Oh, now you can see the pool noodle. It's not really a stone. Okay, yeah. Well done, guys. Isn't that amazing that because Jesus beat death, everyone who trusts in him can beat death too, can be drawn through to new life. Well done, guys. You can grab a couple of Easter eggs. Just check with your parents. That's okay. Sorry, parents. A couple, maybe. Don't go crazy. And back to your seats. Back to your seats. That's enough, girls. Get back to your seats. Let's go. One handful. All right, off you go. Go. Thanks, Liv. All right. Let's give them a clap. Well done, kids. Great work. Okay. So that is why Easter Sunday is such a great day. That's why we want to celebrate this day. Why we're filled with joy. Because he has risen. And everyone who trusts in him will rise too. We have a great hope that is stronger than death. Amen. We're going to sing a song again, another song, about that early morning visit to the tomb. It's a song that says, "He is risen, hallelujah." And maybe it's another song the kids might be familiar with. So let's stand and sing, "He is risen."
The grave of the crucified Jesus. The stone is rolled away. They hear the angels say, "He is risen. Hallelujah. He is risen. Hallelujah." Peter, hurry, Peter, run to the of the crucified Jesus, strips of linen, empty tomb. Peter, you will see him soon, because he is risen. Alleluia. He is risen. Alleluia. Two brothers walking the Emmaus road, talking to the crucified Jesus. When they broke bread, they knew all Jesus said was true, because he is risen. Alleluia. He is risen. Alleluia. He is risen. Alleluia. He is risen.
One more time. Please take a seat, everybody. Wasn't that great? I love it when skits don't quite work out as they planned. Sometimes they're just so much better. So praise God, though, for the wonderful fact that Jesus rose from the dead. We are going to have another reason. Now, I'm slightly confused. I thought Crystal was doing this last one, and Shannon, oh, we got Nate coming up. Come on up, buddy. Nathaniel's going to read from Luke 24, 9 to 12. Pop this right down here.
When they came back from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the others. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the others with them who told this to the apostles. But they did not believe the women, because their words seemed to them like nonsense. Peter, however, got up, ran to the tomb. Bending over, he saw strips of linen lying by themselves, and he went away wondering to himself what had happened.
Thanks. Thank you, Nate. Well, when the women got back to the rest of Jesus' followers, did you notice, as Nate read there, they didn't quite get the reception that they maybe were hoping for, the welcome they were hoping for? Notice how there were a couple of different reactions to this news that the women brought. They raced back and shared this amazing news that they had heard and believed. But in verse 11, the man who they had told it to, they were a bit slow. They did not believe the women because their words seemed to them like nonsense. Now, this claim that Jesus is risen, it's nonsense to them. They can't believe it. They knew, as well as you and I do, that dead people don't rise from the dead. But dead people only don't rise from the dead until they do. And especially until Jesus does. This is a totally unique event because he was a totally unique person. And in verse 12, there is one guy among this crowd who responds differently. Peter, here's what's happened. And perhaps he remembers something that Jesus said. Maybe he has the faintest hope, but he doesn't stick around with the others to argue about it. He just bolts out the door as fast as he can to the tomb, searching for Jesus, this one who was the Messiah, God's King. And it's just as the women said, he gets there, there's an empty tomb, there's strips of linen that had covered Jesus' body are just sort of lying there. And Peter goes away amazed, wondering to himself what had happened. It's an incredible discovery that these women and Peter made on the first Easter Sunday morning. I just want to sort of wrap things up, though, by asking, what about you this Easter Sunday morning, 2,000 years later? What about you? How would you respond to this amazing news that he is risen? Maybe like those first disciples, maybe for you, your gut reaction is one similar to theirs. This claim seems like one that's unbelievable, seems like nonsense. Or maybe like Peter, the news of resurrection, or Jesus' resurrection, sparks something within you, sparks some hope within you. Well, wherever you're at, I want to leave you with three thoughts this Easter morning, three claims that flow out of that first Easter. They'll be up on the screen. Firstly, Jesus' resurrection is a real historical event that changes everything. If you've been with us through this term, we've been looking at Luke's gospel and we saw right at the start, Luke's claim is that he's writing history. He's writing history right at the start of his gospel. He has carefully investigated everything. He's chased down the eyewitnesses. And he's writing this biography of Jesus so that other people would have certainty about who Jesus is and what he's accomplished. Jesus' resurrection wasn't just a comforting fairy tale that his first followers made up. No one expected it. Did you notice also that the first witnesses for the resurrection were women? This isn't something that gets picked up often, but it's a really important point. In that culture and that time, women had lower status and their testimony wasn't admissible in courts. Now, why is that important? If someone in that time was to make up a story about Jesus being raised, if they were making it up, they would never have used women as the first witnesses. The only plausible reason for that, and the only plausible reason for the fact that most of the first Christians died for this claim, is that it really happened. It really happened. It transformed their lives. They went from being fearful to bold proclaimers of Jesus, whose message exploded out and has been changing lives ever since. One of the first followers of Jesus, a guy named Paul, put it like this: if Jesus hasn't been raised from the dead, then your faith is futile and you're still in your sins. But Christ has indeed been raised from the dead. And that changes everything. And that changes everything. So, Jesus' resurrection is a real historical event that changes everything. Secondly, Jesus' resurrection gives you a solid hope in the face of your own suffering and death. Paul, I just quoted, goes on to say, Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep, the first taste and guarantee of a great harvest to come. So Jesus' resurrection means you can have a solid, real hope in the face of your own suffering, even in the face of your own death. If Jesus really was raised, and he was, that means that he's Lord of all, and that he has promised to everyone united to him by faith will be raised with him to new and eternal life, just like we saw the kids bursting through death after Jesus. No matter how much suffering you face in this life, no matter the reality even of your own death, which is coming for all of us, Jesus' resurrection means you can have a sure, certain, unshakable hope. An unshakable hope. A real hope. Not a weak kind of wishful hope, but a real, solid, certain hope that he will pull you through death into glory on the other side. So hallelujah, Christ is risen. But third thing. Jesus' resurrection is real, it's historical, it changes everything. It can give you a solid hope for the future, but it also can transform your life today. Jesus' resurrection means you can have his power at work in you today. Today. His resurrection isn't just a power for the future, it's a living reality today. He is the living King, and by his Spirit, he can change your life now. Especially if you're someone who's not trusting in Jesus, I want to speak to you now, someone who hasn't experienced this new life. I want to invite you to stick around, if you're able to, for the next couple of weeks. We're going to finish reading Luke's Gospel together. And there we're going to see the risen Jesus setting the hearts of his people on fire, giving them an eternal and lasting thing to live for, a purpose to life. So I want to invite you to come back. Next week will be a normal church service. We'll have our kids and youth programs running as well. So over the next couple of weeks, we'd love to see you again. I also want to invite you to a great opportunity that's coming up called Taste and See. There'll be a couple of slides up on the screen. Taste and See is a chance to explore these four big ideas. So if you go to the next slide, to explore four big ideas over 4 weeks, over four delicious meals. Each meal is themed for the week, and I'm really looking forward to tasting and seeing how good the food is, as well as how good the message is. So I want to invite you to that. Taste and See will be starting in a couple of weeks. So the details are up on the screen on the 13th of April down at Planted Coffee House for over four Saturday nights. There are a bunch of invitation cards on the tables up the back if you want more information or details how to register. If you're someone who's trying to figure Jesus out, who hasn't yet put your faith in him, we would love for you to come along, ask any questions you like, and just reflect a bit more on who Jesus is and what he could mean for your life. We want to invite you to do that because Jesus' resurrection really happened. Really. In history, it really happened. And that changes everything. It means you can have a sure hope for the future, no matter what life throws at you today. Even in the face of death itself, it means you can have the power of Jesus' resurrection at work in your life today, giving you new life and hope and peace with God. And that is wonderful news. It's joyful news. It's good news. Good news for Easter, because Christ is risen.
He's risen indeed.
He is risen indeed. Amen. I think Marty's going to lead us in prayer now before we sing again. Thanks, Marty.
Please pray with me. Father, our God, we come before you now with thanksgiving and praise for simply who you are, what you have done and what you continue to do. And this weekend we've celebrated the death, burial and resurrection of your son Jesus. A death so cruel, it makes my mind boggle what people can do to others in such a vile and vicious way. But Father, we find we do the same. We don't do it with swords or nails, but we do it in so many other inventive ways to hurt others. So many vicious things that we do in our own hearts and minds. But Lord, you died that death for us on the cross. It was a swap of life for life. You took our death and you gave us life eternal. And it was in that moment that you were separated from the Father, that you lived out our eternity if we did not know you were Saviour. Father, that eternal separation from God, you lived that for us. And your blood was shed that we would have forgiveness for sins, that we would know new life. And we pray that we would never forget the depths that we were saved from, even though we remember that death that you lived for us. And Father, you were buried in the tomb. And the disciples, they were so confused. And sometimes we are as well. We're bombarded and just assaulted by information in our world, so many godless theories, so many ideas and knowledge that just comes through the internet or various ways that just assault our minds and try to turn us away from our faith. But Father, we want to trust in you because you are sovereign God, and not out of confusion or out of a last resort, but out of a hope and out of knowing that you are our God. And this morning we celebrate the glorious resurrection of the risen Christ. And as the women who came from the tomb said, "He is risen," we resound with, "He is risen." Father, this we know as truth and a hope that we have of a restored eternity with you. And as we live from this day on, Father, we pray that you would just remind us of that gospel of Jesus. He died for our sins. He gave us life. But Father, we have the hope of eternal life because we know that he rose again and had victory over death. Remind us of this, Father. Give us a passion to live for that gospel, to want to share it as a church together in the community in which we live. Father, there's so many around us who are just unknowingly headed for a godless eternity, and we don't want that for them. So we pray that as a church that we might reach out, and we ask that you would bless things that we endeavor to do, like the Taste and See, and even just the Sunday morning worships, that Father, you would take them and bring blessing to so many, and that they would come to know Christ as their Savior as well. And Father, for the church worldwide, we need to proclaim that gospel with a passion of conviction of truth in our hearts and a compassion for the lost condition of so many around us, a world that needs to know Christ. And Lord, for all the Trinity churches that we are connected with, we pray that you would give them wisdom and understanding over this weekend for the leadership, and that they would know wise ways and good ways to just share that gospel with the communities in which they are located. And for us personally, Lord, we just pray that you would impact our hearts. Remind us of the depths that we are saved from. Remind us of the hope that we have in the glorious resurrection of your Son. And Father, that we would live to bring glory to you as we seek to love those around us. And we thank you for the truth of knowing Christ as Savior, for the truth of his resurrection and the truth of your word. And we pray that you would help us live in response to that as we ask it now in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to say the Lord's Prayer, is that right? Yep. Sorry, forgot. I was handed a little note to say, can you do that? Let's do that. We'll pray the words that Jesus taught us. Our Father, heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Sorry, Steve.
Thanks, Marty. Well, we've come to the end of our time today. We've got one more song to sing about the hope, the sure and certain hope that we have if we are trusting in Christ alone. We'll sing that shortly. But just to draw your attention, if you've got in the leaflet, you would have seen a little invitation card. Next Sunday, after our church gathering here, 12:30 p.m. at Kent Reserve, we have our old-fashioned church family picnic, and you're all invited. So if you're available to come next week, it's just going to be a great time. We've got a free sausage sizzle. Just bring your own drinks, deck chairs, picnic rugs, and we've got races and games and all sorts of fun. So you're all invited to come along to that. That'd be great. And of course, stick around after the service for some hot cross buns and a cup of tea and coffee. And it'd be great to meet you if you're visiting with us. So feel very welcome to stick around. Trust you've been really encouraged in your time here today. It's been so good to reflect on the life-giving power of the Jesus in his resurrection, what it means for us presently in our own suffering and facing death, and what it means as we look forward to that glorious day when he comes again. Well, let's stand and let's sing In Christ Alone. I love verse 3. Every time we sing this, there's just something so uplifting. Verse 3, there in the ground his body lay, light of the world by darkness slain, then bursting forth in glorious day up from the grave, he rose again. And as he stands in victory, sin's curse has lost its grip on me, for I am his and he is mine, bought by the precious blood of Christ. I trust that is your testimony. If not, I pray that it will be. Let's stand and let's sing To Christ Our Hope.
Thank you.
as we go, I just want to leave you with some words of the Apostle Peter in 1 Peter 1:3. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Friends, Christ our King is risen indeed. Hallelujah. Have a great Easter, what remains of it. Don't overdo the chocolate. That's just a warning there, but have plenty of hot cross buns now. Go and enjoy and have a great day off tomorrow too.